This is a meal that is opposite and sanctified and separated from all other meals. When I eat and drink of the cup and the bread, and I think it was a snack, instead of the body and the blood that caused and enforced the New Testament, I'm drinking it unworthily. Why? He didn't say you were unworthy. He said, because you're not recognizing what you're doing it unworthily. Or watch this, you're doing it without benefiting from the power of it.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay.
So it says, every time you take this communion, you are announcing the death of Jesus Christ and that the will is now enforced. I'm announcing to you that I am the healed, protecting my health. I'm announcing to you that I have victory. I'm announcing to you that I'm whole and I'm delivered. I'm announcing to you that all my sins have been taken away, past, present, and future. I'm announcing to you that Jesus' death, he died, praise God, which means that that will has now been enforced into my life. And I'm making that announcement every time I take the communion. I'm making the announcement, he died. Yeah. Hebrews, I believe, chapter 9 says, without the death of the testator, the New Testament is alive now because he died. So this is not lunch and supper as you know it. Now watch this. Next verse. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread, now listen to what we've just said, and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how would I drink and eat unworthily? By drinking and eating it as if it's a normal meal. By drinking and eating it and not understanding and recognizing what this stands for. That when I eat and drink of the cup and the bread, and I think it was a snack, instead of the body and the blood that caused and enforced the New Testament, I'm drinking it unworthily. Why? He didn't say you were unworthy. He said, because you're not recognizing what you're doing it unworthily. Or watch this, you're doing it without benefiting from the power of it. Look at the next verse. Now watch this. But let a man examine himself. Now stop. Context is king, right? Is he asking you to examine yourself to see if you have sin in your life? Or is he asking you to examine yourself to see if you are recognizing the meaning and the purpose of what you're doing? Let a man examine himself to make sure he's just not taking this as a common meal. The reason why it's referred to as Holy Communion is because this is a meal that is opposite and sanctified and separated from all other meals. Because this one means something. This one means wholeness in my life. This one means a New Testament enacted and activated in my life. So let me examine myself to make sure that I am focused in on the bread that represents his broken body and the cup that represents the blood of the New Testament. Examine yourself. Make sure you're focused on the sanctification and holiness of this meal. And what does it mean to be holy? That I am I am not common with the world. I have been set aside. When they're broke, I'm supplied. When they're sick, I'm healed. When they're down, I'm full of joy. That's what it means to be holy. The Holy Communion means not like or common to all other meals. Now, watch this. So you're examining yourself not to see if you have sin. Dear God, if we examine ourselves to see if we have sin, nobody would take communion. Because whatever's done out of faith is sin. To know to do good and to do it not is sin. All right, well, watch this now. Next verse, 29. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, he's drinking and eating this as if it's lunch or supper, and not drinking and eating it, knowing the authority and the power that has been invested in the broken bread that says, this is my body, and the shed blood that says, this is the New Testament in my blood. For he eateth and drinketh unworthily, and he eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. When he talk, the word discern means not recognizing the distinction and the difference. Damnation, what does that mean? Going to hell? No, that means you are stopping up the benefits from coming by focusing in on what this means. You're stopping it. You're drinking of the cup and eating of the bread, not focused in on what it means. And so you're eating and drinking damnation to yourself. In other words, you're not benefiting yourself because you're not focused in on what it needs. And the reason why you're not benefiting yourself is because you have not mentally made the distinction and the difference between this communion meal and your supper.
Right. Good.
You see that? Now watch this. Next verse. For this cause, for what cause? For this cause, for the cause of you not making the distinction and the difference in your head that this is not your 6 o'clock meal, but this is the communion that has been set aside to release power and authority in your life. For this cause, many are, watch this, and here's, they translate this, they left off a couple of little helpful words. For this cause, many are still weak and sickly among you. They were weak and sick before they took communion. And for this cause, they're still weak and sickly among you, and many die early deaths, not because of the communion, but because when they were sick and weak, they did not recognize the power and authority that God had graced and given to them, so that by receiving his broken body, that wherever they were weak, they could be made whole. And by drinking of his cup and realizing what the blood of the New Testament is, that they would have life and have it eternally. And they did not. So they continued to be sick, and they continued to be weak, and they died early deaths because they carried around the sickness and the disease and the cancer, and they trusted everything else, but they did not trust, nor did they make a distinction or the difference between this meal of the broken body and blood of Jesus and the rest of them. So there is so much power invested in communion. I know I did it. I got diagnosed with cancer, and I remembered I have been given authority, the grace of God. God graced me with this authority to use this authority. It's his power, but I got to turn the switch on. Y'all want to hear what I'm saying? And this goes along what we're going to talk about tonight, about performance-based versus things you have to perform. It's God's power, but I got to turn the switch on. Georgia Power sends the power to your house. But if you don't turn the switch on, you're not going to have no light in your room. It's their power, but you got to turn the switch on. It's God's power, but I got to turn the switch on. Here's another illustration. He says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. The word resist means to actively fight against. If I don't actively fight against the devil and resist him, he won't flee.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Somebody says, well, you're doing something there. You're right. The authority is something that God graced you with. So now that you have been graced with the authority, you have to activate what you've been graced with, and we confuse that with performance-based religion versus the performance necessary to activate your spiritual authority.
Amen.
If you don't resist the devil, he won't flee from you. If you don't flip the switch, even though the power has been made available, God's power has been made available to you, and if you don't do and activate it, it won't be made available to you. And that's the fuss people have. Well, you're telling people they don't have to do nothing. You don't have to do nothing to be, you don't have to do nothing to try to earn your salvation, your righteousness, your wisdom, your deliverance. Jesus did all of the work there. All you got to do is believe there. But when it comes to your spiritual authority, you have to activate it. And God will not violate his word and come and turn the switch on for you. You have been given the authority and the right to flip the switch. And if you don't turn it on, nothing won't happen. That's where the big argument is. Well, he says you're not supposed to do nothing now that you're under grace. You're confusing performance-based religion under the law versus activating the authority that has been given to you through the grace of God to walk in the authority as if you were God on the planet. You're not God, but he gave you the authority to act like you are by casting out devils, laying hands on the sick, raising the dead, for whatever you have, whatever you say you'll have. That's another piece of the authority. Proverbs 18 and something. He said this, he says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. So if you don't become a custodian of what comes out of your mouth, which is why God hates complaining so much, because your mouth's so powerful, you're actually stopping what he wants to happen because you don't know how to speak right. Amen. Well, you got to watch what you say. When it comes to operating and activating your authority, you do.
Right.
What about your righteousness? No, Jesus did that. That just requires my belief. Casting out devils? Well, I got to activate that. Being free from devils, all I got to do is believe that. I know I must be like freaking out. I'm 1,000 miles a minute, praise God, watching my clock, determined to be all of these places at one time. And bless God, I'm loving every minute of it. You understand what I'm saying? I'm so stirred up, praise God. I got the devil so freaked out, he don't know what in the world. The only thing he can do, a little bit of stuff, the only thing he can do is to turn my, they turned my gas off last week, and I'm calling, did the gas bill get paid? I said, Is this it? This is the first time in my life I get my gas turned off because I didn't pay my gas bill. Turned them on and said, well, ain't no sign of nobody switching it off. I said, was the bill paid? Well, the bill's paid. I said, well, how come I ain't got no gas? Well, let me come out there and look at it. And he came and looked, and he went out and checked, and then he came back. He said, this ain't never happened before, but somebody, one of your neighbors didn't pay their gas. And they switch yours off instead of theirs. And I said, Satan, I don't sweat the small stuff. Hallelujah, I got you. I got you just. Oh, that ain't nothing. Then I go to bed, and the next morning I wake up, I'm getting ready to walk out the door, and the alarm goes off. Carbon monoxide in the laundry room. Carbon monoxide in the laundry room. Well, you know, that goes straight through the alarm, and now that fire trucks and police and oh. Firemen going in my house with axes. I'm thinking, are they gonna put a hole in my wall? Because I wanted to say, sir, could you please take them books off? I just want to finish sweeping. They said, oh, it's false alarm. You don't have no carbon monoxide. Well, I could have told you that. I said, devil, is that all you got? Is that all you got? You think I'm gonna stop preaching the gospel of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ because two or three people say they don't like me? Do you understand your trial has become my protein bar? It's what I eat for nourishment now. Your junk is what I now use for nourishment. I used to use them as barbells. Now I use them for nourishment, praise God. Bring it on, praise God. And I'm trying to get some of you stirred up to let you know you're not going to just sit around and be defeated by the devil and keep feeding on all of this bad doubt and unbelief, praise God. The gospel is being preached. The truth has come. You're under the grace of God Almighty, and it's time to rejoice and thank God for it. Well, shout amen, somebody. Let's give God praise for it. Amen. Now, I just had to get that out of me. Woo! Glory to God. What you say? Man, I've been on just fifth gear for just my hair on fire right now. Just in fact, I hadn't got a haircut. I thought I'd just let it grow so you can see the fire. Somebody said, ain't fire, that's die. No. Now watch this. For this cause, many are weak and sickly. For what cause? For the cause of not mentally making a distinction and a difference in your mind that this communion is not like the fried chicken supper. It's been marked and designated. Bread that is his body broken for you. Cup that is his blood for the New Testament for you. Keep announcing that I died until I come. Keep announcing that I died until I come. He says, now many people don't know this difference in distinction, and many are weak, still sickly, and many die early deaths. Why? Because they had something available to heal them and to strengthen them, but they didn't know about it, and they thought it was a regular meal. They came to church, took a cracker. I mean, dear God, I was looking forward to that. When I was in the Baptist church, that wasn't no grapefruit juice. That was weird. That was real nicely aged wine. You hold in your mouth just long enough and just suck on it and gargle a little bit while the preacher has gone on something else, you can start feeling kind of nice. And the bread, my Baptist church was a cracker. It wasn't the dry stuff we take with no taste. One day I'm gonna come out here with some hot sauce and some seasoned salt and put it on there. And I said, this bread, let me season it up a little bit. Listen, you go home and do that with water and a piece of light bread. As long as you're designated. This is not bread from a sandwich. This is not bread from a supper. This bread represents the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you make the distinction and difference in your head. This is like a superpower weapon. There are two things that God gave us to help us in our grace lives. Tongues is one of them, and communion is the other. When I got that diagnosis of cancer in my body, I knew there's no way I am going to go through this without employing those two weapons. I took that communion, and I sat down, and I'd hold that bread up and say, now this bread is the broken body of Jesus Christ, which was broken for me so I can be made whole. I said, in Jesus' name, I now eat wholeness. And I can almost feel my body responding to the bread, not the actual physical bread, but my designation that this is communion. Yeah. Hallelujah. And I took that cup, I think one night it was orange juice. I said, this cup tonight is the cup of the New Testament, that everything that Jesus has done, I believe I receive it right now. And I drink it, declaring that the New Testament is alive and well in me. And after I drink it, the only thing left to do is to praise and worship God. And that's just giving praise. And I remember after, I took it every day. Sometimes I would take it twice a day. When I took it this one day, I knew, I stood up out of that desk and I said, that's it. You know when an assurance comes over you, I don't care what they see or read, when something goes off on the inside of you that says, that's it, you cannot be defeated. whether it's in business, whether it's in peace in your home, whether it's in your physical body, when the inner image of that covenant explodes on the inside of you, and when you close your eyes, you see yourself healed, you see yourself delivered. I'm telling you, man, this thing is as real as the person you are seated by tonight. Glory be to God. Don't let this communion by. But go ahead and employ it. Go ahead and start using it. Using it where your situations, any situation is concerned, any situation where you need wholeness and the release of the New Testament, designate the Holy Communion. Set it aside, all other meals, and say, now I'm using this to announce that he died. And as a result, look at what I have enforced in my life by the grace of God. Man, I ain't never heard this preached, you know, to me before. And I'm making sure you don't stand up and say, you ain't never heard it before. You're hearing it now. Now, I can't help for people who ain't here. Should have been here. All right, now watch this next verse. For if we would judge ourselves, what, you see? If we would judge ourselves where this is concerned, where the worthiness of what we're eating has concerned, then we won't be judged because we didn't judge ourselves of recognizing that this meal is different from everyone. So judge yourself. Now am I focused in on what this means? Judge yourself. Well, do I understand that I'm getting ready to do this in remembrance of him? Context is king. You don't just take a scripture out of the Bible and ignore the context that it appeared in. The application of a scripture is based on the context that it is found in. So you can't go around the Bible and pick that one up, pick that one up, pick that one up, and ignore the context, because the context defines the application of that scripture. Can't do it. Can't do it. You'll end up in error. You cannot do it. You have to pay attention to the context and how that scripture is evolving and being used in that context. Say it again, context is king.
Context is king.
Verse 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened, or what? Directed. That word chastened literally means to direct. Directed of the Lord. That we should not be condemned as if there is no use in our lives with this world. All right, now watch verse 33, going back to the contrast here. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, now he's going back to the contrast between communion and the regular meals. So when you come together to eat, wait one for another. 34, and if any man hunger, watch this, let him eat at home. This is not what that is. If you're hungry, go home and eat a meal. Because this communion is not about your hunger. This communion is about your healing. This communion is about your deliverance. This communion is about your wholeness. This communion is about the New Testament in his blood. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. All right? And he says, now, and the rest will I set in order when I come. So somebody start asking deep questions. Say, the rest he'll set in order when he comes. All I know is what he said. And the rest he will set in order when he comes. Now, I got something else out of this. It might not mean very much. But when you're at rest, things will be set in order. And that's what communion did for me. It put me at rest. It was my medicine prescribed by Dr. Jesus. And although I would take the other things, I would not dare take those things and not take this thing, because this thing became the support for all the other things that I was taking. So you see the contrast now between, and I know this sounds weird, between supper and the communion table. You got it?
Yes.
Come on, lift your hands up and thank God for that. Just lift your hands up. Lift them, lift them, lift them, lift them. Open your mouth and thank him. He was saying something to you. What was he saying to you? What was he saying to you? Thank him. Thank him for something that he's already done.
It's time for you to get free from performance-based Christianity.
Now that you're born again, don't you ever again claim any possession or relationship to what you used to do in the past. That's not you anymore.
For a love gift of $25 or more, you will receive The Contrast Between Law by Moses versus Grace by Jesus 5-message series.
So if you're going to see your behavior change, you're going to have to renew your mind to line up with that new spirit. And when that new spirit is in line with a renewed mind, then your body will do what it tells what it's told to do.
Also included in this offer, you will receive Rightly Dividing the Lord's Supper.
Many preachers sit up there and tell you, if you don't get the sin out of your life and take this communion, you're going to die early. That is not God, and that is not truth. The communion doesn't kill you, it heals you.
Call the number on the screen or go online to order today.
I pray that this broadcast blessed you today. And rest assured that your financial contributions to Creflo Dollar Ministries are always used to minister the gospel of grace. We minister to the physical and spiritual needs of millions around the world daily, and your contributions help us do just that. Thank you in advance for your support, and we love you, and we're praying for you daily.
Thank you for choosing to be a blessing in the lives of other people by sending in your financial donations to this ministry. If you'd like to give now, you may do so by calling in or giving online at CreflodollarMinistries.org. Thank you, and God bless you. Your generosity allows us to make a difference in the lives of people all over the world. Through Creflo Dollar Global Missions, we are providing food, clothing, crucial supplies, and the Word of God to people in the most remote regions of the world. Because of you, Creflo Dollar Ministries is providing a new understanding of grace and empowering change in the lives of millions of people every day. Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe.